11. Johnny approached the great village cautiously. He was up before first light, and the yellow dawn found him in the outskirts of the place, peering, halting, looking closer at the strange sights, nervous. Sand lay over everything, and grass and even scrub grew in the wide paths between the buildings. He gave a start every time a rabbit or a rat came tearing out of the ancient structures, disturbed by his footfalls. Even though the hoofs were muffled by the grass and sand, the silence of the place was so intense that any disturbance of it seemed overloud. He had never heard an echo before to notice it. The return of sound caused him a great deal of worry. For a little while, he thought there must be another horse walking in the distance, but at last he worked it out. He hit his wrist kill club against the one in his belt and promptly heard the same sound repeated softly like a mockery. He waited, but no further mock occurred. Then he hit the clubs together again, and the same sound returned. He decided it didn't happen unless he did it first. He looked about him. To both his left and his right were the tall remains of buildings, very tall indeed. Pitted by wind erosion, discolored by endless centuries of weather, they still stood, flat and even and imposing. Astonishing. Whoever could build such things? Gods, perhaps? He eyed the massive size of the building blocks. No man could lift one by himself. Johnny sat his horse in the middle of what must have been the main path of the great village. He frowned, straining to comprehend the building of such a place. Many men? But how could they reach so high? He concentrated laboriously. Gradually, he could conceive that if one built up steps of logs, and if many, many men put ropes around a block, and if they carried it up the steps and then took the steps away, they might have done it. Marvelous, dizzy, and dangerous. But it was possible. Satisfied that it didn't need gods or monsters to have made this place, and therefore very relieved, he continued his exploration. He wondered whether some odd kind of tree had grown along this path. He got down and looked at the stump of one. It was hard and jagged. It had been hollow, and it was deep in the strange rock. It wasn't wood. It was a reddish metal, and when you scraped away the red powder, underneath was black. He looked up and down both sides of the wide path. The placing of these things was very precise. Although he couldn't figure out what they were for, it was obvious that, like buildings, they were placed objects. The innumerable windows surrounded him, seeming to stare back at him. The morning sun had come now, and it shone into those that faced it. Here and there were vast surfaces of the shiny stuff he had collected from the mound on the plain. It was not clear, it was whitish and bluish, like the cataracts on an old man's eyes. But there were whole sheets of it in some places. He began to realize it was some kind of covering, perhaps to keep out the cold and heat and yet let in light. People at home sometimes did that using the tissue of animal stomachs. But those who had built the great village had access to some kind of rock or hard substance that came in sheets. They must have been very clever people. He saw a great yawning doorway ahead of him. The doors had fallen away and lay there half buried in the sand. The inside of the building gaped darkly. Johnny walked his horse through the door and looked about in the dimness. Debris was scattered all about, rotted and decayed beyond identification. But a waist-high series of platforms stood. They were of a remarkably white stone that had bluish veins in it. He leaned down from his horse and stared at the walls behind them. There were heavy, heavy doors set into it, two of them ajar, one of them wide open. Big wheels of still bright metal were inset into them. Johnny stepped to the platforms of white stone and dropped to the other side. Cautiously, he approached the open niche. There were shelves, and on the shelves, tangled with rotted remains of some kind of sacking, were mounds and mounds and mounds of discs. Some were a dull gray, almost tarnished away, but one pile was bright yellow. Johnny picked up a disc. It was as wide across as two fingernails and remarkably heavy. He turned it over and his eyes bugged. There was that bird again, talons gripping a bundle of arrows. Hastily, he pawed into the other mounds, looking at disc after disc. Most of them had a bird on one side, the face of a man, the faces of different men, were on the other. Face of a man. And some of them had women on them. This was not a god symbol. This was a man symbol. The bird with the arrows belonged to man. The shock of it sent him reeling. He supported himself against the wall of the niche for minutes. He felt his head buzzing with the readjustment of ideas. These doors to the niches were man-made. The great village was man-made. The doors of the tomb and the mountains were of similar material, even if larger. The tomb was not a god tomb. The mound out on the plain was also man-made. Man had once built things. He was certain of it. And it would take many men to make this great village. Therefore, there must have been many men at one time. He rode his horse out of the place in a deep daze. His most basic ideas and values had suffered severe shifts, and it took a lot of getting used to. What legends were true? Which ones were false? There was the legend of the great village, and here it was. Man had obviously made it, and had lived here in forgotten times. Maybe the legend of God getting angry with man and wiping him out was true. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe it had just been a big storm. He looked around the paths and buildings. There was no evidence of a storm. The buildings were still standing. Many even had a strange, thin sheeting in the windows. There were no bodies about, but from a time so long ago, bones wouldn't last. And then he saw a structure that had its doors firmly closed and sheets of metal fastened where the windows should be, and, looking closer, he saw that a huge metal clamp sealed the place. He got down and inspected the clamp. It was of a different age than the village. There was no tarnish on it at all. It was old, but not that old. Something or someone at some time had pushed aside the sand in front of the doors. It was grass-grown sand, but it had been disturbed. Johnny frowned. This building was not like the rest. It was in a fair state of preservation. Somebody had put metal sheets on the windows, and the metal was quite different from any in the rest of the town. It showed no signs of corrosion. Somebody had given this building special treatment. He backed up to get a better overall view. It was indeed a different kind of building. Fewer windows, block solid. As an experienced tracker, Johnny studied the time differences here. Long, long after the village had been abandoned, somebody had made access to this place, made a path, even dug a path in and out of the doors, and then fastened the doors thoroughly. But even that had been a long time ago. Curious, he scanned the front facade. One of the metal window covers was loose. It was higher than his head, so he stood on his horse and pried at it. It gave a little bit. Encouraged, he shoved the handle of his kill club into the crack, and with a protesting whine, the cover suddenly sprang loose, startling Windsplitter, who moved off. Johnny held on to the ledge, his feet dangling. He pulled himself up. The transparent sheeting under the cover was still in place. He took his kill club and managed to hit it. The crash and tinkle of the stuff as it fell was shockingly loud in this quiet place. Experienced now with the cutting quality of this stuff, Johnny hung on to the ledge with one arm and cleaned up the jagged bits from one side of the frame and dusted off the ledge. He pulled himself through. The place was so dark that it took quite a while to see anything. Light was coming through in thin cracks where other windows remained covered. At length, his eyes adjusted and he dropped cautiously down into the huge room. Now that he was not blocking the window's light, he could see quite well. Dust and sand were only a filmy cover over things. There were tables and tables and tables and chairs and chairs and chairs, all marshaled in orderly rows. But they were not the interesting things. Almost every wall was covered with shelving. The stacks of shelves even protruded out into the room. Somebody had covered them with a sheeting you could see through. Something lay under the sheeting on every shelf. Johnny approached cautiously. He carefully removed the fastenings to the sheeting and looked behind it. Queer, thick rectangles stood on these shelves, rows of them. At first, he thought it was all one piece, and then he found that one could remove a single rectangle. He took one off the shelf. It almost fell to pieces in his hands. Awkwardly, he juggled to hold it together and then succeeded. What a strange object!